Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. This is your trigger warning. This podcast is raw. It is real, and it doesn't sugarcoat what it means to survive trauma, abuse, mental health battles, or even the aftermath of living in survival mode for too damn long. What you hear on Survival Mode Disrupted includes unfiltered stories, graphic details, and a vulnerable truth that may trigger some of the audience. Please prioritize your emotional safety. If something feels too heavy, pause. Breathe. Come back when you're ready or not at all. Your healing is yours to honor. These episodes are based on lived experience, not therapy sessions or clinical advice. Listening does not replace mental health treatment or constitute a coach-client relationship. If you're in crisis, please seek immediate help from a licensed professional or contact your local emergency services. This space is built with care, but it's also built for truth and built for disruption. Take what you need, leave the rest, and most of all, trust yourself. If this podcast speaks to your soul, you don't have to do this work alone. Feel free to join our free Facebook community for high-achieving women ready to break cycles and heal out loud. Join us at Disrupting Survival Mode on Facebook, or grab the book that started this movement, Exiting Survival Mode, a raw step-by-step guide to help you identify, release, and rebuild from the survival patterns that have been keeping you stuck. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and today we have Rosa with us. So, Rosa, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yes, hello, Leticia. Thank you so much for having me on. I know we've been trying to make this happen for a bit, so I'm glad that we finally could. My name is Rosa Casquino. I'm a licensed clinical social worker in the United States, here in California and in Nevada. I have been supporting survivors of trauma for over 10 years. I typically work with survivors of childhood sexual abuse and narcissistic abuse and immigration trauma, so that's my jam. That's what I love to do. And, you know, as a survivor of trauma myself, I think it gives me an understanding into the lens of trauma and how to be able to heal through that, you know, with the tools that we have, the strengths and the support systems that we lean into.
I love that. And I strongly believe that representation and lived experience support is so helpful in the healing process. Yes. To have somebody to understand, like truly understand what it is you're going through, it makes a world of difference. Yes. So let's kick it right off. How would you describe survival mode?
Survival mode. Oof. You know, I'll give you kind of the way that I describe it to my clients or the people that I support. It's what we need to do in order to ensure our own internal safety. Whether that's we shut down and go inside to make sure that we're safe, whether we fight back because that's what keeps us the safest, and whether we run away or whether we fawn, right? Whether we people please to make sure that we're safe, right? It's all about safety. And at times, the things that we need to do to survive are judged. Sometimes we judge ourselves and hold a lot of shame and guilt over them. And so part of what I focused on, not just with the work that I do, but also for myself, is to really have a lot of compassion and understanding and curiosity for the way that I've had to survive and be able to really free myself from that sense of whether shame or the weight, that I've carried as a result.
Compassion and grace is absolutely key in coming out of survival mode. So
Absolutely.
now I'm curious. Tell us your story to and through survival.
I guess I'll start at the very beginning. I am an immigrant. My mom brought me, my parents brought me here to the United States from Peru when I was 2 years old. And I grew up in an environment that was violent. My dad was abusive. He was an alcoholic also. And so there was a lot of fighting, a lot of violence, a lot of drinking. And, in the middle of that, it left me vulnerable to perpetrators. And so I experienced my own abuse at the hands of other people. And I learned how to survive by focusing on school. And so school became my escape. So did an eating disorder. It became the way that I coped and that I tried to hide my body from being desirable to perpetrators. And I learned to lean into my teachers. I learned to lean into extracurricular activities. I lost myself in reading. Books became the way that I was able to enter a different world. I became a very, very good student. So that way I had something to focus on and something that could eventually get me out of the generational cycle of abuse that I was in. So I knew from a young age, because my mom told, she told me that, you're going to go to college and you're going to be a professional one day. That's what she would say. You're going to go to college and be a professional. I don't know what professional, but I was going to make that choice for myself. And so I knew that education was going to be the way out for me, was going to be the way out of poverty, was going to be the way out of generational trauma. And so that became my focus for me. And then I turned 18 and I fell in love and got married pretty quickly. So that all went out the window. And I was a baby, I was a kid playing house, with my then husband, who was also just a few years older in his early 20s. And we had kids and we did the best that we could with our own womb. And then, 20 years in, I realized that it wasn't for me anymore. And so we went through a divorce, and that was about 5 years ago. And it was the toughest experience for me. I would never wish the process of divorce on anyone because it is really painful, but it was the best thing for me. And through that process, I've learned to heal so much. I noticed what my coping skills were, how I was surviving through life in a way that was, disingenuous to myself, the way in a way that I was disconnected to myself. And so I learned to reconnect. I learned to connect with that younger me that really needed my protection, my love, and my support, and learned to heal her. And so it's been a very, very long healing journey for me throughout my life, and a big chunk of it has been done, especially over the last 5 years since my divorce.
Thank you for sharing. A lot of times as children, when we're kind of escaping an environment, we end up into circumstances as adults that seems idealistic simply because it's an escape from what we've been dealing with. And while
Absolutely.
you didn't allude to any issues other than, you moved away from being authentic to yourself, I think just the journey of finding yourself after trauma and healing. And whenever I talk about accident survival mode, I say it happens in three phases. I say it happens. The first phase is self-awareness, the second phase is reprogramming, and then the third phase is this reinvention. And I think once we get to this reinvention phase, we are forced to analyze the interpersonal relationships around us. We're forced to analyze our jobs and the things that is taking up the energy from us day to day. And
Absolutely.
it may seem to some that the decisions that we make in that process of reinvention seem far-fetched or out of the blue, or it's necessary to clear the weeds in order to
Absolutely.
fully bloom into our full potential.
Agreed. And meaning that's definitely what I went through, right? When I went through the divorce, there was a lot of surprise shortly after I quit my job that I'd been in for 8 years to move on to something else. And then I moved on to something else and eventually I started my own practice. So all of those were steps that were necessary in order for me to be where I'm at today. Those were all like these moments of intense growth and also intense like growing pains for myself. And I needed to go through those, and people didn't understand. And that's okay. I had to be okay with that discomfort of others not understanding my why, as long as I knew and understood my why. And the beauty of it, though, is that I was able to lean into friendships that I've had for a really long time that I was disconnected from, but I was able to reconnect and regrow them. And they have been key part of my own healing and resiliency. I would not have been able to get through without them to lean into family members and friends. And those relationships have strengthened and just become so beautiful in this process.
It's so much that we learn about ourselves as
Yeah.
we
Oh, yes.
move beyond it, right? And like it's always interesting to me because we live with ourselves all our lives, and it's like this shock and awe every turn, like, where did she come from?
I didn't know it ran that deep, right? Yes.
Yeah. And I think that's like the beauty of being able to take radical ownership of our lives, be able to move ourselves forward, right? I call it radical ownership because a lot
I
of
love that.
times we move in life with this fallacy that we don't have control. There are a lot of things that we are completely out of control of,
Yes.
but we have so much control of us. And we are often
Yes.
conditioned to believe that we don't, which is sad in its own way. I don't know, I always bring it back to homeschooling. One of the reasons why I decided to homeschool my kids is because of the trauma that I experienced in school, not just from students, but from teachers. But as I processed when I got older, how that system is set up to kind of strip us of our own individuality so that we can be controlled, so that we can be groomed into perfect employees. And
Yes.
I often sit back and think about how long it actually took me to unwrite all of that, and I just never wanted it for my kids. And like I
Yes.
bring it to the school system, but it's also society, right? Like they sell us this conveyor belt of success, and anyone who's not on that conveyor belt, right, like is shunned, even in this day and
Yes.
age, right? Like you
Yes.
tell somebody you're an artist and immediately they go to struggling artist, right? Or you're a musician and you must be like starving, or because
Yes.
it's not possible for you to be successful if you're not on society's prescribed path. And
Yes.
same thing with trauma. You go through this experience that changes you immensely, and we spend so much time then trying to uncover who we are outside of our survival identities, outside of
Yes.
who we had to become in order to survive, that getting to a place of reinvention and being able to finally decide that this is what I want
Yes. Yes.
is so
That's
powerful.
huge. It is. And that's what I tell people that I work with. It took you X amount of years to get here. Right? Whether you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 to get here, it's going to take some time to rewire your brain, right? To heal those neural networks of trauma that we've created, of the way that we react to things based on those beliefs and those experiences that we've had. And so it's going to take time to rewire. And it's going to take time to heal, not just in doing the therapy work together, right? But the things that happen in between, the experiences, and the people that you continue to connect with in between. Yeah. And so that just,
Absolutely.
it's okay that it takes some time also. I think some people feel that once you get on your healing journey, that it's this instantaneous thing, right? You read a couple of self-help books, you do a workbook, you attend a workshop, go to therapy, that it's going to be done in 6 months. No, it's taking you X amount of time to get here. It'll take you X amount of time to rewire and to shift and to finally get into a place of acceptance that you can lead your life, that you do have choice and voice over your own life.
Choice and voice, I love that. So, one of the reasons, and I hope you don't mind me going here, but one of the reasons why this has taken so long for us to connect, it was because of what was going on in the US. And
Yes.
I want to talk about this a little bit because
Yes.
you immigrated to the US and you over the time that you've been there, you say you've been there since two, right?
Yeah, so 40, I'm 43, so 41 years, yes.
41 years of experiencing and witnessing the xenophobia towards immigrants, the hate,
Yeah.
the conditioning. And I think, this environment right now must be really rough to,
It is. Go on, I'm sorry.
to sit and so, I mean, how are you navigating this? Because the reason why I bring it up is because
Yeah.
people often don't recognize that these type of situations create immense trauma for people.
Yes.
So
Yeah.
how are you navigating it, and how are you perhaps helping others navigate it? Because it's such a head, like I'm watching from overseas and I'm just
It's heavy. It's heavy, and there are moments when I hear new things coming up on the news, or I hear new things about what's going on with the government or with ICE and immigration, that there is this moment of fear, anger, helplessness, powerlessness. And at this time, it's fleeting because I say, okay, what can I do? So I'm going to choose to not live in fear. I'm going to choose to create some content for the people that follow me, or anybody that sees, that says, you're not alone in this. Like, it's normal what we're going through, understanding what your nervous system is going through, understanding what's going on with your survival mode and what's kicking in, right? Understanding that as a community, we're not alone. Like, and we can't be silenced. Like, we're big, we're huge numbers. Immigrants are huge, whether we're Latino, whether we're East Asian, whether we're European, wherever. Like, we're all immigrants, and we outnumber any like white Caucasians within America. And so we cannot be silenced. So I'm choosing to not stay quiet. And so that's what I can do. That's how I am dealing with this. That's how I'm coping, and that's how I'm helping support others. And then, of course, also through my individual work and being able to support other agencies and different trainings that I'm doing, different webinars, healing circles, and letting them know that, again, we're not alone, as a we're a community, and that the healing is going to happen in community, not in isolation. So
And
that's
that's
how I'm helping.
a, I love that. And you bring up that important point of leveraging the community, right? Like a lot of
Yes.
times when we are going through things, witnessing things, we tend to silo ourselves with the thought that maybe someone might not understand, or we won't be heard and seen in a way that we want to.
Yes.
And that's why there's so much more safety in numbers and so much more support in numbers, and being
Yes.
able to learn to leverage that, not just in this instance, but in healing, in trauma recovery, like in it
Yes.
all, being able to find your people and
Yes. Yes.
find the space in which that you can get the support that you need or create change.
Yes. And as a social worker, and we're taught that we're agents of change. And so, just having that social work lens and having that voice, and says, okay, what are the seeds that I can plant? Right? I may not be able to single-handedly make global changes, but I can plant seeds. one person at a time, 10 people at a time, 20 people at a time, and they're going to plant seeds, right? And something is going to happen as a result of that. So I'm one person, but with that, I have a voice, and my voice can be big as I want it to be, and I can go ahead and plant those seeds.
And I love big voices. I call myself a disruptor just because I don't want to come and make a little ripple. I want to make a tsunami of change, you know what I mean? Like, and in order for us, especially women of color, in order for us to be heard, we have to be loud. We have to be forceful in a way, which it works. It works to our benefit, but it also works against us because we're already labeled as aggressive women. We're already
Can be,
labeled as
yeah.
women who cannot be controlled, right? So people who aren't ready to hear our message will shut off. However, I think it's so important for us to anchor into the power of our voice. Power
Absolutely.
of our agency, the power of our authenticity as well, right? And I think one of the things that is recurring in the brown or black culture is that, especially women, we aren't meant to be seen. We don't present ourselves as soft. And so we often avoid vulnerability. Because we've been conditioned that is weakness. But our vulnerability also allows us to create connection, and that connection helps create community, which then allows us to perpetuate the change and the mission because we are able to open up space for others. And I think it's just important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is why I'm okay with sharing. Like, I feel okay with sharing that I'm a survivor of sexual trauma, that I'm a survivor of domestic violence, that I have as I'm a parent of a child with special needs. Like, all of those things I think are important for me to be able to share and say, hey, it's okay. You're not alone. Like, I've gone through it. So many people have gone through it, and we're not alone. Like, we can help each other heal again in community, and no longer being silent. We don't have to stay small. That's a thing. And I think what you were just saying really resonated and made me think of how often we're taught to stay small, how often we're taught to extinguish our own light, to please others, to make others comfortable because they cannot handle, how strong our voices, how loud it can be, and how strong our light can be. And so we don't have to stay in that. And this is something that has evolved over the last 5 years. I did make myself very small before, and I am choosing to no longer do that. I don't have to do that anymore to stay safe.
And so this is interesting. And when I started my business 6 years ago, there was this reconciliation. I used to call myself self-contained hurricane, right? And I thought it was a
Powerful.
good thing. No, I thought it was a good thing. But as I reflected on my life and how I showed up in spaces, I had always been labeled as too much from very, very young. So while I recognized that there was so much strength in who I was at my core, the world conditioned me to contain myself.
It's too
And
much, go
I
on.
earned it, and it became like a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Like I had to close myself off. I have to stuff myself away to keep everybody else around me comfortable while I'm like literally screaming inside. So as I developed in my business, it was like I have been conditioned to coast, to take my foot off the gas, because if I operated at my fullest, I would be a threat. Which is why I contained myself. And then I thought about it and I'm like, gosh, I've been operating And I use this analogy in case anybody understands hurricanes, but like I've been operating at tropical storm strength, but really I'm a Cat 5,
Oh,
right?
yes.
And that earning that, like, and a lot of that had to do with my trauma, right? Like, I've been in abusive relationships, I've been contained, I've been controlled, I've been silenced. And then I
Yes.
was able to earn that I'm a Cat 5. Like, I'm a Cat 5. Like, that's an amazing thing. But then I had to learn how to show up in that space, right? Like,
Yes.
because for
Yes.
many, many years, 30 plus years, I coasted. I would get so far and realize, oh, wait a minute, no, you're becoming a threat. So back up. And I had to
Wow.
earn that, right? And it's
Yes.
so powerful. And but in earning that, it allowed me not only to change my life, but change the lives of the people around me. Because a lot of the way that we live is through inspiring others, right? And
Yes.
oftentimes we don't even see that.
Especially our children. They will model not what we say, but what we do. Right. So if they see us holding back, right? Specifically, when we're women and our daughters see us holding back and making ourselves small, they learn that that's okay. They learn that they need to do that. And that you said that, you said two words, too much. I hear that so frequently from women that I work with, that they're too much. And so there is this narrative that, so many women like have over themselves and say, like, I'm too much. I need too much. I can't shine too big. And part of the, culture is to not outshine because you're the family, you're the community, and you can't be bigger than that. You have to stay within that structure. Right. And so you learn through implicit and explicit messages that you cannot be big, that you have to stay small, that you have to toe the line and stay behind. And I learned to stay small from watching the violence in my home, from the boundaries that were crossed in my physical body when I was being abused. Like, stay small, stay quiet. And so that's how I survived for a really long time, by staying small and staying quiet and staying inside. And so when I finally realized that I did not want to do that anymore, that was the time when I was able to break out of that like shell that I had created for myself to stay safe. Even when there wasn't real danger anymore, I still felt like I needed to do that. And so a lot of my marriage, I stayed very small. And even though there wasn't implicit danger, I still stay small because that's what I felt I needed to do in order to stay safe. So I don't longer feel like I need to do
And it's such a subconscious decision, right? Like,
Yes.
we don't recognize that we do it until we look back on it oftentimes, right?
Yes.
And I've
Yeah.
noticed it even with myself. Like, as much as I've perhaps earned my power in the past, right? Like, I recognize how powerful my story is, how powerful my transformation has been, but I
Yes.
still have shrunk. And again, it goes back to that conditioning that we get that everyone else around us is more important. The comfort level of everyone else around us is
Yes.
paramount.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a term for that, at least in Latino culture, it's called Marianismo, which is in Latino culture, the Virgin Mary, right? She's like self-sacrificing, all giving. And so for women, we're taught to be that way also. Everybody's needs comes first. And especially the men in your life, your husband, your siblings, any male in your life, their needs come first versus yourself. So that is praise. Being self-sacrificing as a female is praised. And so, being able to teach like first and second generation women that that is no longer the way that we need to live our lives, that we're allowed to put ourselves first, that we're allowed to break free from those confines and really like have a voice and shine.
Absolutely. And it's so interesting how that many people won't see it as trauma, but it is trauma, and how that is passed on. Like, we often talk about how trauma can be passed on up to 8 generations, but I think it's farther than that, because like when you look at how we pick up these cultural cues.
Mm-hmm.
Like we call it
Yeah.
cultural, which we don't recognize as like some sort of trauma response or survival
Yes.
response,
Yes.
right? And then we don't ever talk about it or challenge it. So you do it, you pass it on to your daughter, your grandchild will do it, and it just gets passed on and passed on until
Yeah.
somebody finally says, "Well, why are we doing this?"
Yes. So we're focusing
Why?
on breaking the cycle, right?
Yeah,
Because we're looking at generational trauma. We're looking at, in the States, we're looking at how colonization, has impacted so many of us, not just in the States, but if we're looking at Central and South America, also colonization from Spaniards, how they've impacted the way that we, see ourselves, the way that we were colonized and our ancestors were raped. And, all of that trauma has been passed down and held in our bodies, and learning that maybe some of the things that you're feeling that you need to stay quiet about, or the way that your body's responding in survival, some of that may not be your own direct trauma. It may be things that you've inherited. So we're looking at, again, not just generational trauma, but epigenetics and how that's held in the body through DNA also, and genetics, right? So there's so, I mean, it goes so much deeper than just our own personal experiences.
And that's why I love these topics, right? Because like we can dig a 20-foot
Yes.
hole and still not reach the bottom because there's
Yeah,
so much
absolutely.
to explore. Like, you know, I don't think I've had conversations about, you know, how trauma changes our DNA in depth. You know, I've mentioned it, but like even just that, so many people are just unaware of how trauma shows up and how trauma
Yes.
changes us, how, you know, it changes everything we touch. And I often use like
Yes.
the example of once you drop a black paint in white paint, it doesn't matter how pale the white
Yes.
paint stays, it is no longer white, it's gray. And
Yes.
it's the same with trauma, unfortunately. It changes everything about us. And
Yes.
until we are
Yes.
able to unpack that and heal from that, we just operate from this sad space, you know?
We do. Yes, we're reacting to the world around us versus really living it and being present and engaging in it. And you mentioned, that first step of like awakening and awareness, right? And so that's really where we start. It's like, oh, I'm actually just reacting to everything around me right now based on these core traumas and wounds that I have. Now I'm seeing it. Now I'm seeing like what happens when I'm activated and this thing happens. Okay, now what do I need to do about it? How can I heal that? Where is that part of me that needs that healing, that love, that safety? And then we can start engaging differently. Then we can find ourselves. Then we can reinvent ourselves. So all of this, it's all like just so many layers into ourselves. And even when we get there, it's, well, what did your grandmother go through when, they had to flee their country of origin, and or they were in a concentration camp, or they were imprisoned, or all these things that we carry in our own body. It's so important to continue to dig in so that we can choose to release it and then live our own life, not anybody else's.
Exactly. Live our lives.
Yes.
It took me 40 years to get here, but
That's
finally.
okay. But then, what's the beauty of that is that then you may have not been able to be fully present in throughout those 40 years, but now when you are, it's just so much more beautiful. There's so much appreciation. I think when we get to a certain age to be able to say, wow, like these moments are so precious. Like life tends to go by so quickly. And so what do I want from it? Not just in a career or as professional, but what do I want as far as like the people that I'm surrounding myself with? What do I want from the place that I come home to and can relax in? How do I want my relationships with my partners, my friends, and my kids to be like? Like we can actually be in that versus just sitting by as it all, you know, as the as a life live us like we can live life instead.
Absolutely, absolutely. Rosa, I have really
Yeah.
enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you. This was fun.
So, yeah, absolutely. So, tell us how we can connect with you online and
Yes,
how you might work with
absolutely.
clients.
So I work with clients in the States right now. Like as I mentioned, the state of California and Nevada. But I also am on social media. So I am on TikTok. I am on Instagram. So there's a lot of informational content there regarding trauma, especially childhood abuse, and right now immigration trauma. So and I also have my website. I own the Healing Guide Counseling Center. And so if you go on the healingguidecounseling.com, that's me. I have resources there, a lot of information. I also on Instagram, I am the Healing Guide Therapist, and on TikTok, I am the Healing Guide Therapist. I also talk a lot about immigration because I support people and individuals that are going through the immigration process with visas. So I offer a lot of information on there. And it's just my way to plant seeds and let people know that they're not alone in this process.
I
So
love
that's
that. So
me.
we'll make sure all that information is in the show
Thank
notes.
you. Thank
But before
you.
we wrap it all
Yes.
up, one key takeaway for the audience to action.
It's never too late. The healing can happen at any point in your life. And, you know, I work with people that have been 17 to 75, and healing and progress can be so beautiful, and just the reconnection to your body, to yourself, and to your own voice. So knowing that when you're ready for that support, that there are people out there, whether it's a therapist, whether it's your pastor at church, whether it's, you know, a best friend, like people are present for you if you reach out. And if you don't have those people right now, build community because they're there. And so, you know, when you're ready to take that step, it's just never too late to do that.
Never ever too late. Thank you so much for your time, Rosa and
Thank you so
audience.
much, Alicia.
Yeah, you're welcome. And audience, thank you for catching another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I just want to remind you, you were not built to break, but you damn sure were not built to just survive. Disrupt the
Yes, love
cycle.
that.
Yes, disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week. Bye. Once again, thank you for joining another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted, hosted by the Survival Mode Disruptor, Letitia. You didn't land here by accident. This conversation, it probably cracked something open on purpose, because survival mode isn't just a phase, it's a pattern, an identity, a prison masked as strength. But here's the truth: you're not broken, you're just unfinished. So if something stirred in you today, don't ignore it, don't numb it, move with it. And I want to once again invite you to join Disrupting Survival Mode, the Facebook community where healing is loud and messy and real. I also want to invite you to buy my book, The Survival Mode Exit Plan, because your breakthrough deserves a blueprint. And if you felt seen today, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. Like, subscribe, and drop a review. That's how we amplify the voices that need to be heard. And remember, this isn't about fixing yourself. This is about finding yourself again beneath the rubble. Until next time, choose ease, choose power, choose you. This is Survival Mode Disrupted. Let's keep shaking shit up.